back to These Three Remain. I'm Rick Hill, and it's great to be back with another conversation about life and witness in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland at this time. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you receive future episodes. Now, before we begin to explore this week's theme, we always like to share some stories of faith, hope and love that have been shared with us. And we have three more that have come our way this week. I guess these stories are aimed at providing little snippets of what's been happening in a variety of places. So the first one came in from Julie Bowers, and I thought it was great. She writes, pupils of Carrick Academy were asked to provide a pack of stationery to stay in school due to COVID-19 restrictions. This, on top of a brand new uniform, PE kit and more stationery to use at home, was a big ask, particularly for the new year rates. When a teacher from the academy approached Woodlands Church about helping out, the church went way above and beyond and donations began to flood in. Web company Big Wet Fish got on board with the project also, and McKay Pharmacy kindly donated all the hand sanitizer for the packs. Each year 8 pupil can now start their year with the necessary equipment, making school life easier for them in these difficult times, and a huge thank you goes to Woodlands for their kindness and generosity. So that's a great idea and a great response from that church. This is from Susan Giffen, an elder at Bloomfield Presbyterian. She shares that we have been able to have our usual week of prayer to start the autumn session, albeit it's been in an unusual way. We have used Zoom meetings, videos that allow our children and young people to lead us, and even a district prayer walk, as well as website material to help us think globally, all with personal and permitted small group participation. It has been very special. And finally, Ethan Hawthorne shared this. We have begun to do children's ministry again on Sunday mornings in Carnmoney. Firstly, we determined how many children and leaders could be present in a room in following social distance guidelines. For us, this is 25 kids and 5 leaders. And to ensure we don't exceed this number, parents book a place online for their child. When entering the building, families sanitise their hands and follow a one-way system to our room where the kids are welcomed. They are then shown by a leader to an area to sit so they are an appropriate distance apart from others. To help distinguish which area is theirs, we ask families to bring a blanket or mat to sit on. Their blanket is their area for the duration of the morning. It's easy to think about all the stuff we aren't able to do with kids, but we have found a renewed focus on prayer in these sessions. We have been so encouraged meeting in person again, and the children have loved it, with kids telling parents as they drive home that they can't wait till next week. So it's good to get a little insight maybe into some of the practicalities going in to some of our ministry at this time. Now, on to today's conversation, and I think it's probably fair to say that this is a fairly challenging time to be in leadership in whatever capacity. Leaders are dealing with things like changing restrictions and heightened expectations, heavy decision making and changed work patterns. And leadership in a congregation right now probably feels challenging for everyone involved, whether a minister or an elder or a volunteer leader. And so this podcast episode's in two parts today and focuses on the whole area of how we are leading at this time. The main section is going to be a conversation about the aspect of shared leadership that's part of our DNA, Presbyterian DNA, and I'll be joined by a couple of elders and a minister to discuss this together. And then at the end of this episode, you'll also hear a short conversation with Alistair Bill about the whole area of refreshment for ministers and leaders as well. So a big welcome today to Joe Campbell, Rosie Donaldson and James Rogers joining me in this podcast. Folks, I'm really glad that each of you can join with me today to talk about this whole idea of leading together. Why don't you start just by telling folks who you are? Joe, we'll start with you.
I'm Joe Campbell, session member in First Hollywood congregation. It's actually the congregation that I grew up in. I'm married to Janet, and we have 3 adult children, and we both did a term in Nepal with PCI, which was a terrific experience. First Hollywood is a kind of, well, it's like a congregation in any provincial town. It's growing a little. It's got a wide age range, and we have a good mix of contemporary and traditional stuff. I don't mean just music, but how we do church. And it has kind of held that diverse group of people together really well. So, yeah, that's me.
Brilliant. Okay. And we'll maybe draw on some of that later on as well. Rosie, what about you?
So I belong to the community at Kirkpatrick Memorial in Ballyhackamore, very vibrant little stretch of the Nord Road, sandwiched between all the coffee shops and restaurants and schools and the glider going up and down. I've been an elder there for 6 years. I run a discipleship group for about 20 people between the ages of, let's say, 20 and 70s, something like that. And I also have pastoral oversight for young people aged 14 to 16 as they transition out of taught children and young people's programs on a Sunday and transition into full integration with the rest of the church family.
Brilliant. That's great. Thanks, Rosie. And James, what about you?
I'm James Rogers. I'm married to Karen. We have four children, two of whom frighteningly are adults, and two of whom are teenagers, Andrew, Hannah, Johnny and Sarah, with a crazy dog called Rosie as well. Sorry, Rosie.
I know, sorry.
So I'm minister in Ballinure here. I've been here for 11 years. We are about 3 miles from Ballyclare. Some people know it as the village that you used to go through on the way to Larne to get the boat. Now you bypass us, unfortunately. In many ways, our history is a rural community, but of course now with lots of commuters, we're quite a mix. With a mix of ages and backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. And actually funny, what Joe said about First Hollywood, that kind of balance of traditional contemporary, we have that kind of feel too, I guess, across the congregation as well.
Okay. Maybe picking up on that fine balance, I want to think a little bit about what it's like to lead in congregational life at the minute. James, what do you see as maybe some of the particular challenges as you minister and as you make decisions right now as well?
Well, I suppose in many ways it all feels a wee bit disorientating. We're just not sure about everything. You know, I keep saying to people, any plans we have are in pencil. They're not in pen. You almost don't know what the decision's meant to be, let alone what the answer to your decision-making's meant to be. You know, we're not sure what the questions are. It's just that sense of uncertainty is there. And actually, to be honest, We're trying to get back into things, obviously, in terms of services on a Sunday. But even as we do that, we're discovering how, I guess, disconnected we've been from one another for virtually 6 months. But even with the best will in the world and the best technology in the world, as we connect again as leaders, even, you know, many people, we've all had different lives for an awful long time and we've different experiences of what we've been through and different, I suppose, expectations of where we might go next, or just with no expectation, we don't know. We just feel a bit lost sometimes. We had a wee trial service Sunday past, and then Sunday coming, we're inviting half our congregation to the first effort, I suppose, at being together. But it's all very tentative. It's all very wait and see, just walk by faith, not by sight. All of those lines are very, very true in all of this, to be honest, and in all our decision making too.
Yeah. I was down at our church this morning and part of a small group that's marking out on the floor 2 meter distancing and numbering pews and all of that. And I was thinking, I have a sense of loss, of friendship, of sharing that journey with people that have been a big part of my life. So
yeah.
when you give a whole lot of time to a congregation, you want people to be open and trusting and caring for one another. And here I am this morning kind of saying, no, put that tape there, only use that pew or not this one. It's against all that I've worked for. But so that sense of loss for me. But I also think that this is a time of great opportunity for the church. Mm-hmm. And how we uncover that will be obviously different from right across different congregations. But I also feel it's an opportunity, not just a sense of loss, or as you said, James, disorientation, or even discouragement. It's also a time and potential of opportunity.
Although it's good, we're kind of acknowledging the disorientation or the discouragement. So I'm wondering then, how do we lead in the midst of this? Rosie, what's it like for you, maybe as an elder or in some of the other roles that you were talking about earlier, to be trying to lead in the midst of this?
So I would agree, it's very disorientating. And I would agree with Joe, a sense of loss relationally has been very difficult for me. And the way we function as a session, we're more relational than functional. So when we meet on Zoom to make decisions, it's so difficult. It's stilted. I find myself being passive. You have to feel really strongly about something to unmute yourself and put your voice out there into the abyss of the lagging. And so the process of discussing things to make decisions is incredibly challenging. You know, the way when you're together and you can look into each other's eyes and you pick up on the nuance and the tone, and then maybe afterwards on the way to the car, you have a wee supplementary conversation to clarify things. That's all gone. So I really struggle with what I feel like after a session meeting. I feel discouraged. I feel we really are not doing a great job. But at the same time, Zoom initially was such a lifeline. It was like you were so glad to be together whatever way you could. But now I think people are not looking forward to getting back into monthly meetings on Zoom.
Yeah, and I wonder if, you know, people as they listen, they might be encouraged, strangely, to hear your discouragement, I guess, and difficulty as well. I guess how we lead within Presbyterianism, I suppose, is that leadership doesn't or shouldn't fall on one individual or one person. So actually the whole idea of elderships, of leadership teams, is part of our DNA. James, do you have, as a minister, I guess, what is your perspective on that, first of all, and kind of this whole idea of shared leadership in our congregation?
I suppose it's a blessing and it's an enormous challenge. And, you know, probably when I was younger, and I've read an article you wrote whenever you were a bit younger, Rick, where maybe we can identify with one another, that sense of wanting just to lead and get on with it, frankly, to want to have a vision and just pull everybody with you. I think I've changed over the years. I think I've come to really appreciate the blessing. Well, frankly, I need people around me. I need other people. I can't lead on my own. There's just no way, you know. So I'm so thankful that I'm part, not just of a large denomination that operates that way and a presbytery, obviously, but in a congregation with elders and committee and staff and other leaders as well. So that is a, you know, it is a blessing. You're not on your own. I mean, ministry can be very lonely. But to learn, actually, to be honest, to lean on others, to share with others is a blessing. And obviously, you know, biblically, it's there. I mean, it stands to reason. And you simply look through Old and New Testament and you see Moses with Aaron. You see Jesus with his 12 disciples. And we're about to start Philippians. We're miles behind all the other Presbyterian churches who've already done Philippians. We're you know, late to the game. But anyway, we're going to start Philippians this Sunday. And, you know, starts Paul and Timothy. They're a team. It talks about the overseers and the deacons. They're a team. I think the challenge comes with it because you've got to work with people. And I'm a person and I'm a sinner and I mess up and I'm full of pride and I want my way and I don't want to listen. And, you know, so we have that challenge. And I personally find it very hard. Interesting, Rosie, you're saying about Zoom, sitting over Zoom at the minute or sitting face to face with people and trying to take in 16 different opinions and somehow work out what is the Lord saying in the midst of all of this? How do you go forward? So a blessing and a challenge.
I think a couple of things just to say. Having worshipped in churches in majority Muslim communities who are kind of worshipping in semi-private, sometimes secret situations, I get a sense that that's what we're about, not just have been experiencing where we have to meet on Zoom and all of that, and we can't meet together in a big group the way we used to. And yet for the church in so many countries, that is their pattern of worship, which is a huge challenge. And Rosie was saying about, you know, speaking into Zoom and all of that. And I, some experiences I've had in PCI rural congregations is where the session is made up of a good number of farmers who are used to working with animals and machinery, but usually not with people. And then those session members come to a monthly meeting of this session, and they're expected to take part in this conversation alongside two or three others who happen to work in the city. And you see it's really those farming communities in that setting must be like on Zoom, just not part of it. And the big challenge, I think, James, for a minister is to enable all session members to participate in the discussion. That is the big challenge. But sadly, I've seen too many sessions in PCI where the minister acts as the chief executive officer of the board. And he, usually he, but sometimes she, are almost leading decisions and maybe sometimes sitting on diversity, not welcoming diversity and welcoming disagreement, welcoming various views, but almost wanting to reach a decision quickly and reach the decision that the minister wants anyway and all of that. I do think that it's a big challenge for PCI ministers, I have to say, because too often elders give them the role of CEO of the board.
That's interesting, Joe. It takes courage sometimes to speak up in a session meeting. Increasingly, I think that it helps if we know each other quite well on session and understand where we're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, we're in our congregation, we joke that very few of us come from a Presbyterian background. So we don't have that shared church upbringing, perhaps. So different traditions coming together, certainly different personalities, different skill sets. And in its best form, on the best day, with the wind behind you, it's amazing to hear all the diversity of opinion. And obviously at its worst, well, maybe not worst, but we, of course, do have differences of opinion. But shared leadership should offer such great opportunity for collaboration and be open to new ideas and conversations that move towards discernment. But there needs to be trust. And I think we need to know each other. And that is a big challenge in busy people's lives. And it's a massive challenge at the moment because we're not able to meet up for those coffees, not able to get together for dinner, not able to have those supplementary chats that take our contacts with each other to the right level to make good decisions.
Okay, so in some ways our relational life is frayed, so actually then because of that, or missing, and there's a gap there, so actually because of that, our decision-making or actually even our unity could be damaged as well. Mm. James, do you want to come on ahead there?
Yeah, no, I think that's part of what I meant. I think Rosie and Joe put it better than me, and that it's part of what I meant by that disconnection that we have. And Joe was right that when we had session meetings on Zoom, you know, not everybody wanted to be on Zoom. Not everybody's technical to be on Zoom. We had no choice. We had to do it. But you're cutting off already a certain group of your elders. And then we've had one Kirk session meeting together face-to-face, socially distant within the church building. And again, that environment to do it in. I mean, Rosie, you're talking about relationship. I mean, you're 2 meters from the nearest person. Yeah. You're raising your voice, but it shouldn't be. But to communicate, you're not in a circle. We tried to meet in a circle before. You know, there's no you know, the relational thing just gets lost. And it is very, very challenging.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I'm wondering, I know you've been involved in kind of some of this before and conciliation work. I mean, I'm wondering how you think we can be learning to even disagree well or learning to take decisions and even arrive at a decision together that even people might think differently on, but actually there's unity once the decision is reached or found.
They often say that the best discussion around an issue for a session is held in the car park after the meeting, but not during the meeting. I would say, Rick, that, I mean, I agree with Rosie. A lot of session is about relationships with one another. And I've worked with some sessions who only see one another at a session meeting. There can't be a relationship there. And we've got to find ways. I know in our congregation, we've had breakfasts for our session together. And we're trying all the time to develop those relationships. And sometimes in our discussion and session, we break out into groups of three or four just to talk about that issue. And and so for those who are less confident in the big group, they can be more confident when they're talking to two or three. Mm-hmm. And then when you come back together again, the other members of that small group can help that person to state what they really believe about this issue. Another big temptation I've seen is where we leave the difficult issues to the bottom of the agenda. And then by 10 o'clock or half 10 at night, when people are tired and they want home, or there's a good match in the television, somehow or other, we arrive at a decision which needs to be reviewed again. And so I would always say to ministers and to sessions and clerks, get the difficult stuff higher up the agenda. And even if you do it on two or three session meetings, rather than just bouncing the session into a big decision. I suppose finally, I would say in our own session, if you disagree with something and there's a group who want to go ahead, sometimes we've asked those who disagree to meet together at another time and develop a paper on why they disagree. And those who agree to develop a paper. And so you're sharpening people's thinking all the time. But you have to make a decision, and that's, you know, you're journeying towards that. And then, of course, when the decision is made, the session need to agree and come in behind that and not mutter and undermine that decision among the congregation.
Hmm. Rosie, how have you been doing this in Kirkpatrick, or what does this look like?
Our minister, Christoph, started way before I became an elder, I would say, maybe almost as soon as he came to Kirkpatrick, maybe about 16 years ago. He started an additional session meeting a month. And so we have our business meeting, and then we have a meeting once a month called Learning to Lead. It's on a Sunday night where we get together, and it's kind of like a discipleship group for elders. And it's an opportunity to encourage each other in the work of being an elder, because, well, I certainly find it very lonely sometimes being an elder with the responsibilities that I have to shoulder. So we have clusters. So something similar to what Joe was describing there, two or three of us would get together and share the highs and lows in the past month of being an elder, whether it's leading a discipleship group or working on a subgroup of session, working on a paper or whatever it might be. And we've also taken turns in sharing our story, how God has worked in our lives, kind of like our testimony. And then we have spent evenings where we do an update. What is God doing in my life now? And most recently, before lockdown, in a very interesting time, we looked at a book together of leadership and what might impact our approach to leadership, our background, our families that we come from, personality types. And I don't know how good that experience was for everybody else, but I felt like I knew people better after it. So then when we had our next session meeting, I was like, oh, I totally understand why you would say that. So, which has been really brilliant. And it's also a chance to pray for each other and for the work of being an elder. And, you know, it's the best bit of being an elder in Kirkpatrick is those Sunday nights. It's very intimate. In its best form, it's really good.
Yeah, I remember being at a session, doing a bit of work with them, and it was quite a big congregation, big session, and they were in small groups. I'd ask them to do a particular activity in small groups. And then at the end, we had a cup of tea and a bit of cake together, and this older man came over to me and said, Joe, he said, do you see that young fellow over there on our session? I said, yeah. He said, I've spoken more to him tonight than I have done in the last 10 years. Now, there's something not functioning properly there. We've got to really get to know and trust and love right across the age and across the diversity of theology as well with one another.
Joe, that might be something that we can bring out as an opportunity from lockdown, that you know, now we're coming back into church life with, let's face it, nothing in place whatsoever. And I certainly would observe where we are in Ballymure that busyness has been one of our problems and one of the things that's held us back from building good relationships with one another in our session. And actually, as lockdown began, we kind of, not necessarily by any great design, but we decided as a session that our Wednesday night, what would have been a prayer meeting or a home group, we would make that a Kirk session prayer time on Zoom almost every Wednesday of lockdown so far. Not by any great thought or prayer, but the Lord worked in the spontaneous and we decided to do it. Now it's been a handful of folks each time praying together, but that has developed relationships that we
hadn't
developed before.
That's great.
And you know, again, that's an opportunity for us to capitalize on and move forward with. And again, hopefully not falling back into all the same busyness that we did before that prevented the building of good spiritual Christian relationships that help us to lead in a godly way.
Yeah.
I'm keen to maybe push into looking forward and into maybe what practices you think we might need to carry with us to help develop this kind of approach. So, you know, this collaboration or this, you know, developing unity with one another. So as we work with others who take a lead in congregational life, whether it's organization leaders or fellow elders or those in staff, what do you think, what practices do you think we need to carry with us? Rosie, I'll kick off with you.
Well, I'd like to see us continuing on with our getting to know each other, working well together, trying to understand each other with compassion, because there in our session, you know, to a greater or lesser extent, people's lives have been affected and are affected by this situation that we're in with COVID-19, family life, their own health, extended families, what's going on with work and their children, schooling and so on. So a bit of compassion for each other. And I'd like to see as much sharing of responsibility as we can, so that the load shared a bit more equally. So sometimes some people shoulder a lot of the work between meetings. It'd be lovely if that could be shared a bit more, you know, going forward.
There's a kind of discussion I want to have in our session, and it's around what do we need to stop doing that we've been doing just automatically?
Mm-hmm.
And that might even be organizations. And what do we need to start doing? What's the new opportunity? I mean, it might not be faster internet or more cameras in the church, but I'm talking about how do we help people to really meet one another and meet with the Lord week by week, not just in services, but at other activities. I also feel, Rick, that for many people in congregations, maybe of my age, it might be a time to step aside. But for other people, Rosie, you were saying, it'll be time for people to step up and to take responsibility and to share the load. Maybe we've been guilty in our congregation of keeping things going when they should have died and we should have buried them, you know, whatever that activity or organization is. And I feel that this is a challenge now to our session to make those decisions with grace and love so as we're fit for the 21st century.
Just as I'm listening to you, Joe, you know, so much of what we do as elders, it's an outward push, it's doing loads of stuff. And this has been a time in my own life when I have felt the need for more of an inward tending to my own walk with God.
Yeah.
You know, it's been very exposing, the fear, the control that I have been exerting. And to be stripped back and not to have all those support structures of traditional church life and discover that this is a real discipleship moment for me as an individual. I happen to be an elder. You know, how am I going to lead people in my discipleship group who are feeling the same, that sense of disorientation we felt at the beginning? And then how do we continue that inward journey together on session as well, so that it's less about the outward and it's about the enriching our growth with the Lord. It's just me and the Lord. This has all been stripped away. So back to what you said at the beginning, Joe, it is an opportunity.
Yeah, it is. And and I feel it's also an opportunity to shake up what we do on a Sunday morning. You know, that the hymn prayer sandwich, I just feel that there's an opportunity now to teach the congregation what it is to be quiet. What it is, not just to read scripture, but so much of scripture is about dialogue. Why don't we have two readers reading scripture in a dialogue? Just different and symbols in worship as well. Symbols that we might be able to use at home, like even a simple cross or a candle, just to help people to nurture their own spiritual growth and their own walk. I think as PCI, we could grasp some of these opportunities.
Joe, I heard you bang the desk there, and that's definitely something maybe for another episode as well. You're leading us into. James, what do you have to say on this kind of?
Well, I mean, what Rosie and Joe were saying is almost about taking us back to what really matters, and I think this is a fantastic opportunity for us to step back and say, you know, Lord Jesus, you're the vine, we're the branches. How are we going to remain in you as a congregation so we can be fruitful for you? And I suppose that involves us prayerfully listening to him and prayerfully listening to one another, for we believe that as we make decisions together, God is speaking to us and guiding us. And I think we need to do a lot of listening to one another. And I know as a minister, as leaders, often we're not very good at that because we've got our ideas that we want to get done. But I think we need to do a lot of listening. I think too as well, you know, coming out of this, you know, certainly for me, the last 6 months, you know, as we've done a lot of things online, we've seen people step up. Mm. We've seen new people come to the fore. We've seen new gifts in people. We've seen a new sense of taking responsibility for things, which has been very, very encouraging. And I imagine we're not the only congregation in that situation. And that, you know, how do you allow that to move forward without overburdening people? But at the same time, as Rosie's saying, this is about sharing the load. And sometimes us ministers are not very good at sharing the load by delegating out. Sometimes it may be that elders, committee leaders, other leaders maybe aren't prepared to take that load, or we're not good at recognizing, as Joe was saying, maybe folks coming up who would be brilliant at taking on new things to help us, not just to perpetuate the program, but as we've been saying, to truly grow close to the Lord and be the church that the Lord wants us to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much richness in what you're all sharing in terms of this whole area of leading together. Just to kind of begin to close our conversation, I just want to invite each of you to share a passage of scripture or something that's been striking or relevant to you at this time. James, we'll stick with you for that.
Well, it's back to Philippians, really. Philippians 1:6, because I must confess that during the last 6 months, I've been sitting going, Lord, what are you doing? And Lord, I cannot see this congregation. I cannot see what on earth impact any of these online activities, services, or whatever are having. I just can't see what's going on. And indeed, as I meet now with elders and leaders to work out where we go next, you know, you don't know. And Philippians 1:6 just hit me a few weeks ago. Confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, he's been at work. Ballinure's coming up in 300 years. You know, he's been at work an awful long time before all this happened, and he will continue to be at work and to have that confidence in him.
Rosie?
So there's a verse that's been in my mind for different reasons the whole time that I've been an elder, the 6 years, and I have it up in the kitchen beside the sink. And on our very last session meeting before lockdown, which was a very difficult, panicky sort of a meeting, not very pleasant meeting, we were closing everything down, the picture of the verse on the notice board came into my head. And about 2 weeks ago, as we began starting our journey back to normality, that verse flashed into my head again, and it's Isaiah 43. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So this time, whenever that verse came to me, what jumped out was I am making a way in the wilderness. You know, it's not dependent on me or the session or any of our sessions. I am making a way. The Lord is making a way in the desert. And we are in a desert. I can't see the way out. It all looks the same problem all around. He knows the way. You know, my prayer is that we can keep plans tentative and tune in and listen to the way that's been shown to us.
Joe?
Yeah, for me, I think our sessions have a lot of decision-making, and the temptation for my age group is to rely on experience, and that's a real danger. So the verse for me is from James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. That epistle was written in a time of challenge and uncertainty. And James is saying, ask the Lord and then go for it. So that's what I've been wrestling with as well.
Yeah, and maybe a benefit is that as leaders, we always need wisdom, but sometimes we're reluctant to acknowledge that or even perceive that. So, thanks for drawing that our attention to that. And thanks to each of you for sharing with us today. Thanks for bringing your wisdom to this conversation. And I just want to say every blessing to you, to each of you, as you continue to take a lead in these days, even among the disorientation and discouragement that you mentioned earlier on. So thank you for sharing. I also just want to highlight, or think it would be relevant to this conversation, to highlight a new resource which has been developed to help Kirk Sessions and discuss these issues at this time. It's called Open to God, Leading Out of Lockdown. And it's literally a one session resource, probably a half hour conversation that could be had within a Kirk session meeting or a leadership team meeting at this time, just to help you review the last few months and also to chart a path ahead as well. That's available on the PCI website in the These Three Remain section of the website. As an extra bonus to finish this episode, I interviewed Alistair Bill. Alistair is the recently retired minister of Saintfield Road in Belfast. He's been taking a really lively interest and concern in how leaders are finding refreshment and renewal as they minister and serve throughout the challenges of these days. So we'll finish with this conversation. So Alistair, thanks for joining me. Maybe can you just share with us a little bit about your own perspectives of this area, maybe what you've been sensing and seeing and hearing from leaders or ministers at this time?
I've been trying to keep in touch with a lot of colleagues over the last few months. My observation is that some have coped well, some have even thrived, some really haven't coped, and most have just muddled through. Many were in survival mode for a lot of weeks, but actually you can't be in survival mode for very long. One of my worries coming into June and July was that lots of ministers were postponing or even cancelling time off from their congregations because they knew how to work the technology, they knew how the system worked, and they didn't feel they could leave it to somebody else. Thankfully, as August has gone on, I've heard about more who are taking time off and who are, even if the congregation worship is still online, are delegating that in various ways to others. And of course, there are some buildings that are now open for worship, socially distanced and so on. So a bit of a mixed bag out there, but on the whole refreshment area, I think that's really important because things are not going to change radically over the next lot of weeks or even months.
And from where you sit, I mean, what things do you see as being really particularly important for church leaders at this time? I mean, you've mentioned refreshment. Are there others or how do you see that playing out?
I think it's really important that all of us, whether we're leaders or not, see our identity not in our work, not in our position, but in God himself. God has given us an identity which we can never earn. We are, as the hymn puts it, loved, restored, ransomed, forgiven in Christ. God has brought us into his family as his children, and we only serve, can only serve properly out of that sense of identity. We have nothing to prove and we have nothing to earn. I think we also need to remember that the ministry is his, not ours. We're participating with him in his ministry and his service. And we need to remember that we can only give what we have first received. Otherwise, we find ourselves with a spiritual and emotional deficit. Let me pick up an analogy that I find particularly helpful. Most of us have bank accounts. We have a current bank account. We have a savings account. Our main income is paid into our current account from which we pay all our regular expenses. But every so often we have to take from our savings account to cover an extra or a special expenditure. But if we found ourselves taking from the savings account constantly to pay for the current account matters, we'd be getting ourselves in financial trouble. And I think the analogy is that people have been paying emotionally over the last weeks and months out of their savings emotional account. And they need to get that built up through rest and refreshment, through time with others, through time with God especially. So it's important that we don't run on empty, or changing an analogy slightly, running in the red zone.
Thinking back to, you know, in terms of your ministry, is there ways that you find that rest and refreshment and renewal that you're talking about? You know, what did that practically look like, or what did you do to seek that out?
I wasn't very good, and I must confess, I wasn't very good at taking a whole day off each week, but I did take time during the week, and I did do other things beyond ministry. I always said I'd never be a Monday morning golf playing minister, but about 10, 12 years ago, that changed and I did take up golf. That was actually very good and very helpful. But one of the things I do and continue to do almost daily is to take a walk. First thing in the morning when I get up, I go for a walk for about an hour. That's a time for prayer and reflection, exercise, and if I'm preparing for something, a time to get my head straight in terms of what I'm doing and what I'm saying. I find it really important to engage with people on a personal level and not just as a minister, whether within or beyond the congregation, and find those things really, really helpful. It can't be all ministry. We need to allow God to speak to us. And so I would go to conferences, day conferences. Very important to have a daily time of reading the scriptures for myself and not just for preparation. Time to pray, time to meditate, time to allow God to speak into the situation. And my wife Angela and I, we try most mornings to have, again, a time with God, reading a bit of scripture and praying and reflecting on life together.
Being a little bit more specific, so you've been involved in an initiative that's aimed, I suppose, at helping church leaders and those in ministry over the past few months. Can you tell us maybe a bit about that?
This is Refresh Network Online. During May, June and July, it was a fortnightly get-together for an hour. We had a stimulating talk from an experienced leader. We went into breakout groups of five or six, and we discussed the issues from the talk. People reflected in the light of their own situations, and then we had prayer together. Many people from across these islands have said they found that really helpful. And so that will be starting again on the 8th of September, meeting fortnightly through to December. Refresh Network Online emerges from Living Leadership, which, and let me quote, was set up to help grow disciple-making leaders in the church by providing training, support, and resources that promote gospel faithfulness and lifelong fruitfulness in ministry. I didn't know much about that before January, but I met one of the guys who's involved in running it and have become part of that over these last few months. I've been one of the facilitators on the network online over these months.
And full disclosure, I was part of that. I logged on, I think, maybe three or four of those sessions, and I found them really, really useful. And you facilitated our conversation really well, Alistair. But if people are listening and thinking, yeah, I'm quite interested in that, maybe thinking about the autumn, getting some additional either teaching and also refreshment of meeting online with other leaders, how could people get involved in this?
Simply go to a website that's livingleadership.org, living leadership, all one word. You'll find there a number of options, and there's a section called Refresh Network Online, which will give you more details than I have mentioned, but also give you the opportunity to register and to be part of those. They happened on a Wednesday morning between 10 and 11, and we kept to the hour. We were very good, I think, at doing that. And the next series will be on Wednesday mornings as well. So it's livingleadership.org and Refresh Network Online is the section.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Alistair, both in terms of here's a practical, something practical that people can get involved in, but also just bringing that whole wider issue to us of refreshment to leaders at this time.
Rick, could I just mention something else? One of the books that emerged from one of those sessions was The Emotionally Healthy Leader by Pete Scazzaro. And I know in the last podcast, emotionally healthy spirituality was mentioned. I've started to read The Emotionally Healthy Leader, and I found that very helpful and would want to commend it to those who want to have good emotional and indeed spiritual health as they go on in their leadership.
No, that's really helpful. That's twice that's been quoted, as you say. So I wonder if we get any credits for that. But who knows? Alistair, thanks so much for what you've shared and for joining us today and bringing this really important issue to us. And thank you for listening to These Three Remain, Stories of Faith, Hope and Love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. See you next time.